My friends, spring is in the air, and this upcoming concert season will be all about the way you look and about your boots. And Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you cannot make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your next favorite pair of boots today.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Howdy, folks. Nathan coming at you from the TFL studios with the TFL Truck Podcast. And I've got
Case next to him. Yeah, I'm back for another podcast. Andre will be back soon, but he and Roman right now are at the Chicago Auto Show covering a lot of really cool vehicles that are coming out right now. So I'm subbing in.
And they're eating some outstanding pizza. I know it's a debate, but it's really good compared to Denver. Just we're going to hop right into it, but before we do, we wanted to talk about our Patreon and
well, we gotta let them know what this podcast is.
It really does
about.
Help if we do that. Yeah, the podcast is about purchasing trucks under $10,000, especially in today's economy, which is a terrible economy for buying any vehicle. But there are some out there, and we were looking at some interesting alternatives. Sure, we could do 1500s from Chevy or Ford F-150s and Rams and whatnot all day long, but we wanted to look at some other options out there or some unique versions of these vehicles, and we looked at a few different locations. Instead of just using Denver and Boulder, their Craigslist and whatnot to find them, we decided to look in three different locations throughout the country. So we're going to cover that in just a bit.
Basically, Nathan put together a list of 10 interesting trucks that he found that are pretty affordable. And I'm going to take the role of the viewers and grill him a little bit on some of his choices, because there's a couple weird ones on this list.
The weird ones are awesome. I love weird, as you guys know. And most importantly, there are a few things to consider. First of all, there are a lot of trucks out there that you guys may be looking at where you're thinking, that is way out of my price range, even though I really want a Tacoma. Well, we have some options for Tacomas. The same goes, once again, for other types of trucks, or perhaps trucks that you weren't thinking about. And yeah, okay, all of them have high mileage. Although I think there's at least one that has under 100,000 miles on it, but they're under 10 grand, in some cases way under 10 grand. And they are located, Los Angeles, which is my original stomping grounds. Atlanta, that's Ooh. Case's original stomping grounds. ATM. And Colorado. And also I think there's one in Iowa as well. We just kind of threw that in there. So
yeah, and these are all trucks that ideally could be good for a first truck if you're looking for your first pickup truck, because they're affordable, and that means that it's going to be better for a lot of people for doing actual work or off-roading, because you're not going to be too worried about damaging a 50, 60, sometimes now even up to $100,000 brand new truck.
Exactamundo. And then on top of that, a lot of you guys in the past have been asking about trucks that we would have picked, different trucks for some of the events we've done recently, or special videos, including to Hell and Back Again, our $10,000 $5,000 truck challenge, which is a video series on TFL Truck and TFL Off-Road.
Yeah, a really cool one.
It's a really good one. And we're doing another one, slightly different, in the very near future. But that has to wait just a little bit before we announce everything. Okay, so let's get to it.
Absolutely.
We've got some great people from Patreon who have sent us some comments. We want to read you those comments and also answer a few questions. Patreon is the way that we are able to perform. We don't make very much money off of YouTube alone. So Patreon really does help, and it helps Case with those fantastic haircuts he gets.
Woo.
Okay, sorry, dude. You have hair, I don't, so you know I have to admire.
Yeah, you got
to
make fun of something, so, right?
I got to do something, right? All right, so you want to start with the first one from Catherine, or you want me
Absolutely.
To?
Absolutely, yeah. So we've got three quick questions here from some of our Patreon members. So the first one is from Catherine Montez, and she's reaching out because she has to decide on a truck. Now, she has a 9,500-pound, 32-foot RV trailer, and this truck that she gets to tow this trailer is going to be her first truck. So she's looking into Rams, unless there's another manufacturer that she would potentially be better. And she's really trying to figure out if she wants to go for a 1,500 or a 2,500, and if there's a particular trim or tow package that's most suitable.
Okay, so let's get started with this. First of all, when we saw this, the first thing that we did was we researched if there were any 1,500 trucks out there that would be suitable, because in my mind, if we can get close to those numbers, more importantly, above those numbers with the 1,500, well, it might be less expensive and it would be a little bit more affordable, or you know, a little bit more frugal, stuff like that. And no, nothing really comes to mind when it comes to 1,500 trucks, and there's a reason for that. She says the trailer weighs 9,500 pounds. Well, we can assume that that's dry. So how much weight do you add to your vehicle, your trailer, before you start towing it? I know with my little tiny crappy tent trailer, which weighs, I think, 1,200 pounds, that my spouse is going to add like 500 pounds worth of stuff for a 3 or 4 day trip. That's just a small, tiny, insignificant trailer. A large trailer that you're going to be spending a lot of time with. You're going to be adding, you know, fluid to it and water and all that stuff and food and obviously bedding and all the other things you're going to be adding to it, several hundred pounds worth of weight. So suddenly 9,500 pounds actually becomes close to 10,000 pounds. All right. Well, that suddenly disqualifies a lot of vehicles because you need a cushion. You have to talk about tongue weight as well. So a lot of trucks out there that might tow about that much may not be able to hold that much with tongue weight when you have passengers. So you have to look into that. Unfortunately, that basically disqualifies 1,500 trucks. Am I right?
Yeah, and you know, one of the big things that we found, because we tow a lot here in Colorado with a bunch of different trucks, we tow a lot of different types of trailers, is that if you're closing in on the maximum of what your truck is capable of, you're going to start potentially having issues, especially when we're in a place like Colorado, where we're not only at high elevation, but we're in the mountains, so you have steep grades, things that are going to push your vehicle and test it to its limits. So ideally, you want to have some capability to spare, and a 2,500 will have no problem towing that trailer at all, especially if you haven't had a lot of trucks in the past, you don't tow all the time. It's just going to give you extra confidence, extra stability, and that truck is going to be under stress, which is ideal.
Yeah, now let's get into the nuts and bolts of this. Now, first of all, some of you may be asking, there's another truck out there. What about the Nissan Titan XD?
True.
So we did do some research on it, and there is, if you go for the maximum tow version of that. Now, by the way, we don't know. Catherine didn't mention whether or not this is a bumper pull trailer or if this is a gooseneck.
Right.
So that does make a big difference in terms of what you how you're going to pull it. Regardless, let's just assume that it is a bumper pull, you know, standard trailer, you know, large Airstream or something like that. The Nissan Titan XD is excellent at towing, but at 10,000 pounds, let's say that trailer is going to weigh 10,000 pounds, you are starting to get up there near its maximum, which is around 11. So I would say that I would rather have a little bit more of a cushion, but 1,000 pounds is a pretty decent amount, you know, in terms of cushion, but I'd rather get more. So I would move up to something that's going to have no problem pulling the trailer, and I'd probably go for diesel. Now, if that's the case, you obviously are looking at the big three. So that eliminates Nissan, obviously eliminates Toyota. that means that you're going for the 2500. You don't really need to go up to a 3500. I don't think you need a dually or anything like that. You don't have to go crazy. Now, I would say that the two brands that I would look at would be Ram, what, you know, and so would Case, because he loves Cummins. True. But also Ford, and there is a reason for Ford. Aside from the fact that they really do build an outstanding, you've seen it in action.
Oh, absolutely.
Their turbo diesels are fantastic.
Yeah, the 6.7 makes tons of power. I mean, you know, they're great for towing, but even if you're just cruising around town, you get on the throttle in that truck and they're impressively
it
quick.
Really
awesome.
Moves. But the naturally aspirated gas 6.7 liter, their Godzilla, you know, which we've had.
Or the 7.3?
7.3, 6.7. Yeah sorry. Numbers get messed up in my head. So anyway, the point is 7.3 liter. That one, which is the least expensive option you can get, is phenomenal for a gas engine. And as I said, we've had experience with it. So you get that with the 2500 truck and suddenly you have a relatively inexpensive option for towing. But it also has some really good towing aids that you can get as options, I believe. I don't know if they come standard with the 2500, but you said that this is your first trailer, so backup assist and some of the other pro systems that they have are quite good. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, with Ram, you can also get a large Hemi, which is extremely capable, but I'm sure Case would agree, they have a couple different levels of power for their diesels. So their base diesel...
Yeah, they've got the high output.
You're right. I think would be all that you need.
Yeah, I mean, if one way or another, if you end up getting a diesel version of a heavy-duty truck, you're going to have more than enough power and especially torque to pull that trailer wherever you need to go. The nice thing really about a diesel, other than the torque, is the fuel economy that you get, obviously. Maintenance over the long term, things like having to replace injectors, that can definitely get expensive.
In her case, if she gets a brand new one, it won't be an issue for a while.
Yeah, it shouldn't be as much of an issue. But so it kind of depends. You'd have to figure out for your use case. If you're towing a lot on flat ground, then you might not need the diesel. It's definitely nice to have. They're a lot more expensive to buy up front. But
They are. But recently we also, look, Chevrolet, we had that Duramax.
Yeah.
And that one, they start like in the low 50s, I think, to get, I think it's kind of their base model work truck, four-wheel drive with the extra cab, and there's a couple other things, and you can get them for the same price that you can get a 1500. All of three of the major manufacturers actually have something like that, which is great. All of those trucks will be more than capable of towing this load. Now, there is one final thing before we move on. Make sure that you have the right rear ratio.
Yeah, the rear end ratio,
so
for sure.
And do your research on that. If you get the wrong one, then you will be struggling perhaps for power or perhaps for MPG or, there are various things that having the proper rear end can do to assist you for towing. And most trucks that have a tow package usually have the rear end ratio set up so you can get your best performance for towing. But that might lead to a truck that's not as efficient, that type of thing. So keep that in mind. If you want, send us another note letting us know a little bit more about the trailer that you're pulling and what you're looking at, perhaps budget.
And also let us know if you're planning to daily drive this truck.
Yes.
Because that also makes a big difference.
It does make a big difference.
If you're in a cold climate and you're daily driving a diesel, not always ideal because until they get up to temperature, really not the happiest, less so with more modern trucks than it used to be back in the day with a truck like mine. But
right. And also, let us know if you're going to get a four-wheel drive. That does make a difference. It actually lowers a few things with towing, but at the same time, it gives you more capability, that type of thing. So let us know. Give us more details, and then we can be a little bit more specific with our answer. And better yet, by then, Andre will be back from his many trips. And Andre will get into the weeds with all this information.
Oh, he loves that kind of stuff.
He does. He really does. So let's get on to the next question.
Yeah. So the next question, I guess is.
Do you want me to read it? Because it's going to embarrass you if you read it.
More of a comment. Well, so we had a great viewer named Charles Warren that I actually got to meet as it so happened. He was visiting Colorado. And he just shot a note thanking us for. Having him come by, getting to meet him, his daughter Evie as well. And he also wanted to say that our videos and everything have helped him choose both of the Ford trucks that he's gotten in the last 10 years and that he's been really happy with those. And he also wanted to send a shout out to Mr. Truck, because he said, I can tell he is an old truck driver like myself.
And by the way, Case is too embarrassed to read the fact that they were thrilled with meeting Case and that he was a total gentleman, giving them a quick little tour. By the way, guys, most of you figured out where we are, essentially where we are. I'm in Boulder, Colorado. And we love meeting our fans. Unfortunately, because of the schedule and the fact that we're a small team, usually half, if not three quarters of our team is gone almost all the time, especially now that the restrictions from COVID have been lowered. We're now going to events again. We're going to, well, right now, Roman and Andre are at a car show. And I believe that you guys are going to South Dakota. You and Alex are going to South Dakota.
Yeah, we have a motorcycle event.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, an event here and there, about three or four events coming up. So if you think about the amount of time that we're actually in the studio, we're really not very much. When we get here, that's when we fire off these things. So if you do come by and you really want to see us, there's a very good chance that you may not be able to find all of us and or in some cases, any of us. So definitely send us a note if you wanted to meet, if you happen to be in the area, especially if you got something cool that we can shoot. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Just shoot us an email at ask@tfltruck, and hopefully we can arrange something, like Nathan said, especially if you have a cool vehicle. A lot of times we'll have people shoot us a note and say, hey, I'm doing this cool road trip cross country in this vehicle of mine. And we end up filming a video with the people that are passing by. So
yeah, like a dude, I love my car or something along those lines. So, or truck. So yeah, keep that in mind. We wish we could do fan meetups. We've tried a few in the past. It's just very difficult to get, you know, our logistics are just not there. It's hard enough just to get everybody where they're supposed to go regularly for shows, yeah, and for for press events. So it's difficult, but we are working on it. Just a shout out to future auto shows, provided everything keeps moving the way it's going. Right now we're at Chicago. We will be at the LA Auto Show, and I suspect we'll be at some other auto shows in the near future.
Yeah, Detroit. I know I'm going to be shooting that.
Yep. So Detroit's going to be different. And there will be some other stuff as well. So we will be around. Let us know if you guys are going to be there. Okay. So thank you, Charles, for visiting. We really appreciate it. And your daughter, Evie. That was great. Sorry, I wasn't here for that. Let's move on to Christopher.
Yeah, this is our last question. So Christopher Beauty asked us, David and Project Powder Keg. This is over on the TFL Classics channel. His 1992 Chevy 3500 named Powder Keg. Christopher is asking if it's been sold, if we're going to list it on TFL bids. He was just wondering about an update on that truck. So sort of an interesting situation. David was finishing up that truck, just getting the last couple things buttoned up on it. It's actually a really nice truck. I like it a lot.
Yeah, now when he got it, it was pretty messed up.
It was pretty rough.
It was rough, yeah.
Mechanically, it was okay. Right? Yeah, it had some damage on really just the one door. The rest of the body was pretty good. And he repainted it. He went through the interior, did a really good job tidying up the truck on a budget, so it's not some crazy Pebble Beach kind of build.
It's still a working man's truck. It's a working man's truck, but it looks pretty clean and it runs really well.
Right. Yeah, and I'm amazed, actually, those old Chevy 3500s with the independent front suspension, they ride impressively well.
Yeah, they do. And at the time, they were sort of in a league of their own.
Yeah.
Manual transmission?
Yeah, it's a cool truck. It's an NV4500, so 5-speed manual. He's got a 454 fuel-injected V8. So it actually has got some go to it.
Four-wheel drive?
Yep, four-wheel drive, of
course. So it's an interesting truck. And I believe it's kind of in limbo right now.
Yeah, so the plan has been to sell that truck on TFL bids, and if that ends up being what happens, then we'll be sure to let everybody know that it's going up for sale, because we want to get as many eyes on it as possible. But right now, because that truck is so clean and cool, one of David's good friends actually offered him a trade for another truck. It's a two-wheel drive Cummins in really good shape, and also a really cool fuel injection system, I think like a Holley fuel injection system. David is considering getting this other truck because he wants to swap that Cummins into another project truck he has and try and get that on the road. But depending on how that deal if it does or doesn't work out, that truck might still end up going on bids. I don't blame you for asking, because I actually lust after that truck myself.
Yeah.
And I've spent some time around it in person, and it, yeah, it's
your
it's
driveway is getting a little
looks.
Full, though, before you...
My driveway is more full than you would imagine. I have seven motorcycles and a car in my garage, and then we have four trucks in the driveway. They're not all mine, but
I think that's
a couple
awesome.
Of them are.
So you want to read off the new patrons?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be great. And guys, once again, thank you for supporting us. Without your support, we would not be here.
Yeah. So just to wrap up our little Patreon intro here, our new patrons who are helping support us making videos and doing everything that we do are Christopher Beauty, Charles Warren, Wally Alsamiri, Remy Gomez, Dan Oberst, Catherine Montez, Mike Barbado, and Robert Burke. So huge thanks to you guys.
Yeah, thank you guys very much. And once again, because you guys are Patreon supporters, if you have questions, shoot them our way. We will answer them. And you may get two answers or even three via email from us right here doing the podcast, you name it. Okay, let's move on to our main topic, which is cool and interesting trucks that you guys can get for under 10 grand that are currently available, and maybe some ideas, which is sort of my whole point of making this list, because once again, it would have been easy enough for me just to go find some 1500s and F-150s and Tacomas and whatnot, but I wanted to try some different stuff for some of you guys who might be looking for vehicles that are easier to acquire that just other people aren't thinking about. And I know that in some cases there's some real issues, and we'll talk about some of those, but let's get to it. So first of all, the first three come from Los Angeles, California. That's where I was born and raised.
Yeah, not a bad place to find vehicles for sale.
Yeah, yes, and actually interesting you mentioned that. Yes and no. There's an interesting thing about different places that sometimes you have to look at certain things. So, for instance, Los Angeles coastal town and some of the places there can be a little too close to the beach. As such, you have to look for rust in some unusual places. Also, in many cases, and this is true in many states, vehicles are modified. So what I've tried to do with this list is avoid vehicles that have been heavily modified, because you are inheriting somebody else's project. Finally, this list has vehicles that have been stated as running good or in really good condition or anything but mechanic special or needs help, runs really good, except I tried to avoid that. Basically, I wanted turnkey vehicles that you guys could take to work or to, you know, home or whatever, or off-road. Not all of these are 4x4s. In fact, I'd say almost half of these are rear drive, because rear drive trucks...
A lot less expensive.
Lot less expensive. And there's another thing. A lot easier to maintain. Not having a transfer case, not having everything up front, all that stuff. Believe it or not, well, I'm sure you believe it, you can get a very reliable rear drive truck that'll go a lot further on a buck than a four-wheel drive truck, as much as I love 4x4s. Okay, enough of the intro.
Yeah, first item on the list is actually a truck that I, for the most part, really can't grill you for at all, unfortunately. It's a first-gen Toyota Tundra, which is something that over on the TFL Classics channel, people have been asking us for constantly. They really want to see us do some kind of build-in series around a first-generation Tundra.
I've been seriously thinking about buying one. I'll go into that in a minute.
You can get them with a V8 and a manual, too, which would be really cool.
No, you can't get both.
Oh, you can't get
both? No. Believe me, I researched the hell out of this. Yeah, I know. But we'll get into that in a second.
I never would have guessed that. That's
Yeah. There's the V6.
Tragic.
Let's talk about what we got. It's actually behind you. For those of you who are not watching, if you're listening to us on a podcast, behind Case is a photo of a first-generation Toyota Tundra. Now, let's go into the Tundra history really brief. Before the Tundra, there was the T100, which, by the way, is on this list. We'll get to that in a minute. And the Toyota Tundra was a really interesting attempt at taking on the big three. It was a full-size truck. The capability wasn't quite there compared to the big three, right? Well, what was there was ridiculous reliability. The 4.7-liter V8 has been known to do a million miles. I kid you not.
We have a video of one 4.7 V8 that was over a million miles.
That's right. And we've heard from other viewers saying, yeah, I'm on 500,000 miles, still going strong. Really good setup. decent weight distribution on that truck. I've driven these off-road before. I actually, it was one of some of the earlier stuff I did as a journalist, was the first gen Toyota Tundra when they came out with their TRD version. And it's a remarkable little truck, and it is little in terms of space, right? So there are a couple issues. We'll get to those in a few moments, but I wanted to talk about what we found.
Yeah, this particular one is $7,600. Mm-hmm. Like you were mentioning earlier, this is one of the rear-wheel drive trucks that we're looking at.
Yeah, it says that, but it also on the side of the truck, it says TRD Off-Road.
That is true. So it's always hard to tell with some of these ads until you actually stick your head under the truck. I guess you really don't know what you're getting.
Right.
You would think that a TRD would be four-wheel drive, but you would also think a four-wheel drive truck would be advertised as such, because that makes it a lot nicer.
Yeah, but they may have clicked the wrong thing when they were entering it into Craigslist. This is a Craigslist truck in Los Angeles. So it's entirely possible that it does have the 245 horsepower, 4.7 liter V8.
Yeah, it does say that it has 8 cylinders, so assuming that's correct.
That's the right one. And
well, it's got a V8 badge on the back, so it's definitely a V8. Pretty clean body, not too bad on the interior either. Looks yeah. like it's maybe a little smelly, but
oh, come on, you can't. You never know. I mean, they may have actually, they may be in a fairly.
It could smell better than it looks.
It could smell better than it looks. So here's a couple things about the Tundra that he was just mentioning. Yes, there is a version of the Tundra. I think it went up to 2006, but there were some variables there. But that did have a manual transmission. However, that was only available with the 3.4 liter V6.
I can't believe that. Are they trying to kill our fun?
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of like they had, even back then, people were starting to slow down on their lusts for manual transmissions. But before we get into the V6, let's talk about the V8. If you got the rear drive V8 basically set up for max towing, which is the best way to do it, rear drive, 7,200 pounds basically was the max towing. Not a lot, but it was decent. And if you got the V6, you probably are going to lose, say, about 2,500 pounds. Roughly, you get about 5,000 pounds towing, I believe. Now, if you get, you can get a four-wheel drive, 3.4 liter V6 with their little extra cab. It is out there, but they're really, really rare. They're super hard to find. Basically, what you're looking at that point is an enlarged Toyota Tacoma in terms of, you know, powertrain and all that. But it is a lot bigger, and it is a very different type of truck. They're super hard to find. Easier to find are the 4.7 liter V8s. Once again, they're legendary. So it's an interesting choice for a truck as opposed to other models out there. Unfortunately, in order to buy any of these Toyota trucks that are going to be on this list, you have to bear in mind that most of them have a lot of miles on them. All right.
Yeah, and definitely look out for a little bit of rust. Now, the number 9 on this list, the next truck that we're looking at, is a 1982 Chevy C10.
Yes.
This is another one of the trucks that's in California. It's another rear-wheel drive truck.
And it's weird, and that's why I brought it up there. You'll see why.
Yeah, well, the nice thing about this for a California buyer, at least, if you want to build something cool out of it, is that this one is smog exempt. So one of the most highlighted things in this ad is that it's ideal for a common swap, Duramax swap, LS swap of any kind.
Right. So two-wheel drive, you know, short bed, standard cab, pickup truck. This one's for $10,000. And what's cool about it, for those of you who live in California, you know how difficult emissions can be. This one is emissions exempt because initially the VIN number matches that of a diesel. And until they change the law, that means that you can put pretty much whatever you want in there without having to worry about any ramifications, although you will be melting polar ice caps, but we'll get into that some other time. This one has a 350. It looks like it's been slightly modded. That's under the hood. I'm guessing a 4-speed automatic transmission. Could be a 400. It could be something else. But anyway, that's under there. It's interesting to see this setup in this truck. And it could be a lot of fun for people who want to do some tuning. And that's why I mentioned it. It's something that you can really tear into and not have to worry about legalizing it, so to speak, or trying to, only driving it off-road or whatever. No. This is something very different. So something to keep in mind, and it is in Los Angeles, and it is still for sale.
Yeah, and cool, really cool body, very blocky, iconic.
Square body.
Only just a little bit of rust on this particular truck, super repairable. But this is going to be the first truck I give you a little grief for, because this particular one is exactly $10,000, and that's a lot of money for a truck that is ideally a project which needs some work. Now, granted, the truck market right now is just completely insane. Everything is so much more expensive than it should be, and I guess that's the price that you pay for a truck that's not only running and driving and has potential, but one that is cool and desirable. But still, man, $10,000 for
it is
a
lot of
C10.
Dough. Yeah, I mean, rough. I would negotiate with the guy. I'd try to get eight or whatever. And we don't. One thing you didn't mention is how good it drives, or what the modifications
just
are.
But it does.
Yeah, it does. And the 350, it looks period. It looks like it should be in there and all that. But so it's nothing too weird or twisted. But that's the point about this truck, and that's one thing I liked about it. I thought about you can modify the hell out of this thing and really suffer no consequences other than your wallet getting lighter. Okay, let's move on to the next one, which is also a Toyota, but this one's a little different.
Yeah, this is the Toyota T100. The particular one you found is the final one that's in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. It's $7,500, and it looks to be in pretty nice shape. T100 is a pretty interesting truck. I mean, that was more or less Toyota's first stab at kind of a larger pickup truck, right?
It was indeed. And it wasn't a perfect attempt, but there were things that happened along the way, and Toyota began to learn as they produced this truck. Now, a lot of people right off the bat said, well, I don't want this truck because it doesn't have a V8, and it never did. There were test mules that did have the V8, but it as a model, it never had that. What it did have, starting from the early days, was a four-cylinder, and there were...
Yeah, the 2.7, which
right.
we know
There's
pretty
the three
well.
Three-liter V6, and then the 3.4. Now, during its run, it went from being a standard cab with a long bed to having an extra cab, very snug extra cab, but usable. I've actually managed to sit in the back of the thing with a short driver in front of me. So it... Size-wise was one of those things that was really close, I would say, to a Dodge Dakota of the time. So not quite up there with the full-size truck. With that being said, they were super durable, especially if you got the right one. There are some issues to look for. These trucks, in some cases, had horrible frame rot. Even coming out shortly after production, some of them had some real issues, and there were massive recalls. I won't go into all the major details, but it was something that made Toyota rather red-faced, and they had to actually replace frames on trucks, I kid you not. They did sort some of that out, and they managed to make this truck better and better every year, to the point to that they made a supercharged version of this truck. So you could get a four-wheel drive supercharged 3.4 liter with either a 5-speed manual or, I believe, a 4-speed automatic. Now, the thing about it was a TRD supercharger, and you could order it, but it didn't come from the factory. I believe the dealership actually had to put it on for you, but it was still a warrantied component. I've actually driven in this truck. I've driven almost every version of the T100. It's a very charming truck, very light on its toes for what it is, except for the 4-cylinder, which came with that 2.7 liter. Pretty much the same one that we had inside of tiny little baby Yoda.
Yeah, that was not a very powerful engine. And I mean, even the 3.4, it's doable, but it's not a fast motor by any means.
Yeah.
That supercharged 3.4 is impressive. We actually had a Tacoma with a supercharged V6 race against our TRX at the drag strip. And granted, it didn't beat the TRX, but it did impressively well for as old of a little truck as it was.
Now, and I think that was a 4-liter Tacoma. Too. Was that the 4-liter Tacoma that was supercharged? Or was that a 3.4?
I want to say it was a 3.4.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah, it was still a freaking rocket. And
yeah, that truck was quick.
Yeah. And so add on about 800 pounds and do it again. And that's what you had with this truck. So granted, not the fastest truck, even by the standards of the day, but with that supercharged engine up here in Colorado, having a supercharger is very valuable. And there are still some out there. They're hard to find and they're not cheap. This one is the 3.4 liter V6, not supercharged with a four-speed automatic transmission and rear drive, just a work truck. I think these trucks make excellent work trucks. One of the things I really like about them, Case, is that I can reach in and actually touch the bottom of the bed with no problem. So if it's at a work site or, you know, if you're trying to do something off-road and loading motorcycle, whatever, it's very easy to get in and out of in terms of the bed and do work in the bed. And it's valuable for some people. Not everybody cares about that, but I do.
That's okay. Lost on a lot of new trucks. The bed on the TRX comes up to my chin.
It's some insane. Of these Super Duty trucks and all that, I cannot reach into, and I'm taller than you by pretty good. Yeah, and I can't even get in there. Andre and Roman, who are the tallest here, have to go on their tippy toes in order to touch, you know, the base of the bed from the outside. And in some cases, they can't even do that. Okay, let's move on, though, to your neighborhood.
I believe. So now we're looking at trucks that are in Georgia,
which
could be good or bad. It's definitely
a little humid there. Didn't know. But I wanted to, before we get into that, talk about, you know, what do you look for in vehicles that you're buying, especially trucks, in Georgia, because it's a different type of climate, very humid.
Yeah, granted, hey, it's definitely humid. Parts of Georgia are even on the coast. But at the same time, we don't really get any snow. So rust isn't usually a major issue. It's definitely possible.
It's not like Arizona.
I don't know that Georgia has a ton in particular that you have to be really careful of. I'd say same things that you look for in generally mild climates.
So in terms of the vehicles that we found here, quite a few of them were rear drive. I think that in general, most of the vehicles that I was researching were rear drive. Is that common there? I mean, not a whole lot of people doing
4x4? Yeah, you really don't need four-wheel drive if you live in Georgia.
Because there's not a lot of snow.
The one time every 5 years that you get a little bit of snow and it turns straight into ice. And, you know, even our four-wheel drive F-250 couldn't get into our garage from a, you know, one-inch lip because ice is ice.
Right.
And we don't have anything to deal with that kind of weather. Not at all equipped with the kind of heavy duty machinery that you need to handle that. But a lot of two-wheel drive trucks there.
Okay, so
in the South in general, and that's perfectly fine, especially if you want to maximize how much you can tow, reduce the weight of your vehicle itself. So this next vehicle that we're looking at on the list, the one that's in Georgia, the first, is a 2007 Ford Explorer Sport Track.
Yeah.
Kind of a weird truck. This one is also rear-wheel drive. Mm-hmm. 203,000 miles, $6,800. Has a 4-liter V6.
Really good V6.
This is kind of an interesting choice. I mean,
Well, before you go on, let me throw this out there. A lot of you guys have been curious about the Ford Maverick and the Santa Cruz from Hyundai and what was the other one? Of course, in the Honda Ridgeline. Okay, so look at those three car-based pickups, and you'll notice that they have very small beds. That's part of the deal. So what if you wanted something like that, but you didn't want to pay a ridiculous amount of money for it, and you wanted a frame underneath? Well, your prayers have been answered in Georgia because 2007 Ford Explorer Sport Track, which, by the way, is the second generation of the Ford Explorer Sport Track, which is, it's not, a lot of people get it confused. They think it's like a four-door version or crew cab version of a Ford Ranger, and it's not. It really is an Explorer.
Yeah.
Which means that it does have a comfortable cab, but it has a tiny bed. I think the bed is 4 feet, like one or something like that. However, fairly good-sized tailgate, so when you drop it down, suddenly you're over 5 feet in length, and you can actually hold some wood and whatnot, and it's not too bad. This one is the 4-liter. There was a V8 that was available. Actually, I think there were a couple different V6s that were available. The previous generation did have a manual transmission option. I don't know if this one did. I don't believe it has. This one, by the way, is an XLT. So it has a really nice looking interior. I think it's well equipped. $6,800. It could tow a maximum 5,300 pounds with the V6, I believe. But if you got the V8, then you can go over 7,000 pounds, I believe. Once again, it's kind of a weird vehicle. It's in an unusual ether. But let's say you guys wanted a Ford Ranger, but you really wanted a comfortable back seat and you didn't have to haul that much. Well, maybe this is something to look at. I think they're kind of cool because they're weird. Some people hate them, absolutely can't stand them. They're not great off-road. I know there are 4x4 versions of these, and they're just a little too long and kind of ungainly and not capable. And, well, the biggest issue is really turning radius. They're horrible. But other than that, I just think that, you know, for a basic truck, it's kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah, and again, I mean, if you want a truck that's not gigantic, it doesn't drive too different from your average car SUV type of thing. Yeah, it's definitely an option, especially if you don't want to spend a ton of money. Now, next truck that we're looking at on this list.
I like this one.
It's that's funny. You're definitely going to get I don't even have to give you flag for this. Yeah. Everybody in the
Bring
comments
it on.
Is probably going to do it for me. It's a 2005 Chevy Avalanche.
LT.
LT for $5,000. That's Indicator. I will say $5,000, that's a damn good price. 164,000 miles.
It's not too bad.
Because these GM V8s, they're solid motors. They can definitely do more than 160,000 miles.
Four-speed automatic transmission hooked up to a 5.3-liter V8. As long as it's taken care of, it'll last a while. But there's this interesting truck. You know, the Chevy Avalanche was sort of loved and hated, right?
Exactly. That's been exactly my experience with them, because I've known a few people that own them, whether they bought them new back in the day or they bought them used for very little money like this one. A lot of people that drive them and say it's a perfectly fine vehicle. It works great. And then, of course, there's a lot of people out there that hate them. They say they're not a real truck. It's so ugly.
Yeah, I don't care about the looks. The whole point here is truck. Now, what's interesting, speaking of looks, this one is the later of the first generation. And what they did, General Motors discontinued the cladding. If you recall, the very first generation of these trucks had cladding everywhere. And unfortunately, they used a plastic that wasn't particularly good, and it got like gray really quick, and some of it would disintegrate. So they actually had to put on a special coating. They did a factory recall where you'd bring the truck in and they would recoat it, and this new stuff that they'd put on there in many cases actually helped it. And but I mean, it's a hell of a mistake. So shortly after they introduced the original Avalanche, they actually offered a version without cladding, a cladded free version, which I thought looked a lot better. And then they just stopped the cladding altogether. Anyway, so I don't recommend the one with the cladding if you're into aesthetics, because some of it might discolor in weird ways or fall apart or even disintegrate, which I'm having problems with right now with a GM product I'm working with that's around the same year. So a couple other things real quick. This is a rear drive model, I believe, which is one of the reasons why it's so inexpensive. But the thing about these trucks that's very interesting is, let's say you are in a crunch and you need to hold something that is more than 6 feet long. You can convert the cab, and it does have a a mid-gate that drops, and you can hold really long things in this truck and have still room up front for three. Yes, this version has the bench seat up front and the bench seat in the rear, so you can actually hold up to six people. It's actually the lower models back then that had that option, whereas in the higher level ones had that giant console in the middle that made it difficult for you to put anything in there other than drinks and a computer back then. Who knows? Anyway, so interesting truck and an interesting option for those people who occasionally need to load heavy stuff but kind of need an SUV every day. I think that they were brilliant ideas. Big complaint I hear from people is that they rattle a lot.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
I mean, GM's, especially interior quality in that era, wasn't exemplary.
No, not exactly. And also that whole mid-gate section, there are certain people who would say, or I've heard from people, I should say, that have said that the some of the components that have been used in that area get a little brittle or fall apart. That's including gaskets and whatnot. And then all the stuff that's in the back that you can get. There's special boards that you can get. There's special little extra cubbies you can get that go in the bed. And a lot of that stuff would rattle around. This is according to other reports. I have not had that personal experience. I almost bought one of these, but the 2500 version. And they did have a 2500, which is available the first couple of years. And that thing was a monster. Massive V8 454. you know, larger axles and everything else. Unfortunately, it was not to me because my wife didn't like them, which may have saved me a lot of money. I don't know. But it is an interesting choice. So let's move on to another one. And this one is a Ram.
Yes.
You feeling better?
I'm feeling much better.
Okay, this is a 2003 Ram 1500. So it is the newer version. From the rounded body original, this is the next step.
Yeah, so it's a generation after my truck. Mm-hmm. We're at a Cummins. I would call it a third gen.
Yeah.
It's a 2003 single cab short bed Ram. 97,000 miles, this and it's a $7,500 truck. That's not too bad.
That's really good. Now, for those of you guys who are looking for a first truck, for those of you guys who are looking for a great little work truck and don't need four-wheel drive, I mean, a vehicle that has under 100,000 miles that you can get for...
Yeah. It's got a V8, price. Too.
Yeah, it's got the 4.7, which is... It's not the most powerful engine, but they're known to be very reliable as long as they're taken care of. According to the owner, this truck is well-maintained. I mean, they could tow over 7,000 pounds with this setup.
I have a bit of an anecdote with this, a very similar truck. My folks back in the day used a contractor, this carpenter named Mark Little. Super talented guy, really nice guy. His dad was a drag racer. He always drag raced Mopar vehicles, and so he was a Dodge guy. And he had a similar year single cab long bed Ram 1500 with a V8, and it was, I think he still has it actually, all black with the kind of period correct chrome wheels that came from the factory on it. So at the time, it was a pretty nice specced out truck, and he used it for all of his contracting work. The back of the truck was always full of lumber, paint, everything that he needed to do carpentry work. And I mean, he had 400,000 miles on the truck. Paint still looked immaculate. Truck ran like a clock, and he just loved it. He never, ever wanted to get rid of it. I haven't talked to him in a while, but
yeah, you should
last
ask
I
him
heard,
about that.
He's still driving that truck around.
That'd be a cool walk-around video, actually.
It would.
So this one is not a long, it's a short bed, but otherwise it's basically the same spec. There are a couple things to keep in mind with this truck. The 4-speed automatic transmission, as we know from experience, they can be a little wonky if they're not taken care of or if they're abused. This truck doesn't look like the guy, you know, raced it or off-roaded it very much. It looks like it's in pretty clean condition. I think it's one of the gems on this list for those people who are just want a solid work truck that they can commute with. And I think that this is a good one if you don't have to worry about a lot of passengers. I'm pretty sure the bench seat will hold three people. Not very comfortable to do that with these types of trucks, to be honest with you, but still, you know, if you don't need to hold more than three people, then I guess you're okay. But more importantly, this looks like a solid truck, and less than 100,000 miles for that price is quite a deal.
Yeah, now this next truck, unsurprisingly, is another truck that I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, I knew you would be.
Yeah, and we're now transitioning from trucks for sale in Georgia to some trucks for sale in Denver. This is a 2002, so a second generation Dodge Dakota. It is four-wheel drive. It has a V8, $6,500, 265,000 miles, which is a lot, but the owner says it's got no issues mechanically, electrically, or cosmetically. It's also even got a topper on it. That seems like
it's a
pretty
nice looking
sweet
truck,
deal.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm hoping we can get the picture up there, but this truck looks immaculate, and it's a personal favorite of mine. I don't know about you. Lot of people
totally
like the first gen Dakotas as well.
They're really cool looking. I love the boxy body on those.
I love the second generation Dakota. I've been trying to find an excuse to get one for years. There are so many different variables that work well with this. For one thing, you can get V8s like this one. You can even get much larger displacement V8s. There's a six-cylinder that's not so great. They even had four cylinders with these trucks. They were solid little trucks that can haul quite a bit, actually. This one can tow between 5,000 and 6,600 pounds. It really depends on the setup, how much weight's in the truck, and whether or not it has certain V8 or whatnot. But still, you know, decent amount of towing. And for the price, if it's running really good, I mean, that is a really good-looking truck that looks, frankly, near factory as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and when we were at the peak of our Dude, I Love My Ride at Home series where people were sending in videos of their trucks, which actually is still open, especially if you have a classic
vehicle.
Yeah, if you
got something, send it in.
We love featuring cool classics. But when we were at the peak of that series, we had a number of people send in videos of their Dodge Dakotas, and they were guys who had a couple hundred thousand miles on their trucks and just loved them. So from a lot of the owner experiences that we've heard, people tend to really like these trucks, so there's got to be something to them.
It's an interesting truck because early on, especially with the first generation, no truck out there stood with it because it was just a little bit bigger. Later on in time, you may have noticed, you'll see the early generation Ford Rangers in large. You'll see the early generation Chevy S10 in large. They all grew a little bit. Part of that had to do with being competitive with the Dakota, which was a very good seller for a long time. Things changed, as you guys know. We won't go into the whole history of the Dakota right now, but I can tell you this. It's a very handy size. It is a truck that, if you get the right one, the interior, I think, is quite nice and can accommodate me. I'm a big, big, fat guy, so I fit comfortably in it. They did have quad cab versions. They did have crew cab versions of it. They did have long bed versions, four-wheel drive. Really, it was the pinnacle of a unique market and unique niche, but unfortunately that's disappeared. We're hoping they bring it back in some way. Let's move on to something very different. It's not a pickup.
Yeah, which is probably going to make some people upset, but it might as well be a truck because it's very trucky.
Well, it's a truck. It's just not a pickup truck.
It's a 2000 Ford Excursion, and yeah. This one is four-wheel drive, and it has a V10. This one is for sale for $9,800, 190,000 miles, and these Excursions are way cool. Now, you're probably not going to find one of these at a low price, but they also made these Excursions with 7.3 power strokes, which is way, way cool. I would love to have one of these trucks with a 7.3 power stroke, but again, those are going to be a lot more expensive.
Now, at the time, Ford produced the Excursion specifically to go up and beat down the Chevy Suburban. And one of the things they wanted was a truck that could tow more and haul more and was even beefier. And this is a heavy-duty truck. It had a heavy-duty undercarriage. It was built to tow a lot. This V10 version has a max tow rating of 10,000 pounds. Now, the one you're looking at, or I don't know if you guys are able to see it, but the one that we saw in Denver is for $9,800, obviously four-speed automatic transmission, and built for off-roading. This one has a couple extra little goodies on it, including some really beefy tires, so it can do some off-roading. But because it weighs as much as Jupiter, I wouldn't recommend doing too much on narrow paths and areas where there may be some shaky ground. I really like these trucks, and so do a lot of people out there. You know what they're doing, Case?
What are they doing?
They're taking these trucks. There are a couple guys who do this. I think there's one out in Arizona. And they strip them all the way down. They pay a lot of money to do this. They strip them all the way down. They put in all new components and basically bring them back up so Ford fans can have a heavy-duty SUV that can hold between 7 and 8 people, and I think even 9. I think there was a provision to have a front bench seat as well, and also tow like a maniac. And then they would just add all these new goodies to them to make them modern and expensive. I mean, we're talking over $100,000 for these things. But if you think about it, nothing else out there exists like this truck. So a lot of people, and I'm not talking about 2 or 3, I'm talking about, you know, a couple hundred people have actually gone and done this. And it's interesting to see. I love the fact that these Ford fans are out there. And there's been rumors about them coming back with this, you know, Ford building a heavy duty.
Which they haven't quite done. It would be a hard thing to do. I mean, vehicles at this point are just being pushed and pushed more towards getting smaller, more efficient. But could you imagine with modern Ford styling, technology, and interior, and a 6.7 power stroke?
Why not?
An Excursion?
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
And honestly, what if they were to take the body from the current, you know, Expedition and just stretch it out a little bit and threw it on top of a heavy-duty platform?
Yeah.
Whammo bammo, you got yourself a beefy, super, you know, untouchable SUV.
I'm sure it would be more difficult, sadly, than all that.
But I'm
imagining the front end of an F-250 with an SUV body behind it, like the Excursion of back in the day, and just, oh, I like that idea. Don't hit the microphone.
Yeah, I just smacked it really hard. And I did it again. Gah! I had mosquito bites all over me. For you guys who don't know, I recently got eaten alive, and it's really bad. So I've been itching. Sorry.
All right.
But next, let's get to the last one.
Well, actually, we've got two more trucks.
Oh, my gosh. List. I forgot about the one that I love.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The one that you put last is going to cause all kinds of controversy.
That's
but
fine. That's fine.
This truck right here, it's also for sale in Colorado, $6,500. Four-wheel drive sounds good so far, right? Well, guess what? It's also supercharged.
Damn right.
For $6,500. This is a 2002 Nissan Frontier. And the fact that you can get a supercharged Frontier
crew
for $6,500, it is crew cab. Like I said, four-wheel drive. It's an automatic transmission, granted, and like you're just gonna have a hard time finding any one of these manual that's not crazy.
They exist. But I don't think you can get the manual with the crew cab, but you can get it with the extra cab. I've seen them, and the cool thing about these SCs, and that's what it is it's a Frontier SC. They have, a supercharged engine, but they also have some other unique touches that make them distinguish them differently than your regular models, which I think is kind of cool. So the wheels are unique and everything else. Now this model, this particular one, I'm pretty sure that green is not factory.
Yeah, it looks a little and also weird. Although the door jams are the same color, I don't know if it was repainted. It was done decently well, at least.
Yeah, if it was, that's great. If not, then that's no surprise. Either way, it doesn't matter. I think it's cool. It does have a little bit of a lift, but it doesn't look like you went too crazy with any other mods. As I said, I don't like mods when I'm looking for a good running truck. Now, there are a couple things to keep in mind. Even though it was a supercharged V6, still didn't have a ton of horsepower. It was 210, I think it was 224 pound-feet of torque. But if you had the manual transmission, it was 246 pound-feet of torque with the manual and 231 pound-feet of torque with the automatic, I believe. And that makes sense because the manual at the time, this is back before things changed, could actually handle a little bit more torque. But I could be wrong, and if you guys are fans of the Frontier SC, let me know if I'm backwards on that. I will happily be corrected. But the cool thing about these trucks, once again, high elevation. Trucks really do struggle up here when they are normally or naturally aspirated, however you want to put it. This does not have those problems. These trucks are quick. And between that and the fact that they're just solid little trucks that are extremely maneuverable, even the long wheelbase ones, I think they're fantastic. And if you can find one and they're super rare, it's worth your time and trouble. But here's the thing I want to quickly mention. They're a little expensive to maintain because there's just not many of them out there. So you may want to become friendly with a mechanic who knows supercharged engines. The good news is I've heard that they're pretty reliable, and the ones that I've seen in the past on the net have between, say, 150 and 250,000 miles out there. So something to keep in mind, very interesting truck. By the way, with this setup, you could tow about 5,000 pounds. I believe that's your max.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool find get a supercharged truck that would be a decent off-roader, $6,500. I'm not saying it's necessarily a great idea to buy a supercharged truck with 214,000 miles, but I'm also not necessarily saying it's a bad idea.
Yeah, it really does depend on and whether or not you guys can wrench a little bit, perhaps, which might help. But
yeah,
it could be
a cool deal. I think it's a good find.
Yeah, it's just unique.
Props.
And I like unique trucks. The final truck.
I
should say the final pickup. I'm not going to call it a truck.
Pickup.
Now, for a lot of you people out there, I did mention the Honda Ridgeline before, and that's exactly what we're talking about.
Oh, no.
Yeah, 2006 Honda Ridgeline. Before we go into bashing it, I'm not going to, really.
Were you making people upset on purpose with this choice?
No. There are people out there who just don't want a heavy-duty pickup truck or a pickup truck that's really beefy. They just want a commuter that
it's
occasionally holds some stuff.
It's also almost $10,000, this one that we're looking at.
Yeah, they're
hard. It's got 127,000 miles.
Believe it or not, that's actually a deal.
It is?
Yeah.
Jeez.
It is. Now, this is a first-generation Honda Ridgeline. Right now, prices are stupid on everything, as you guys know, including this one. I think it's $1,000 too much, at least. But there are a couple things to keep in mind. Let's say you got a small boat or something like that under 5,000 pounds. They tow fairly well. let's say you have to load stuff in there. I love the bed design of this and the newer Ridgelines. I think it's some of the most intelligent bed designing out there. Once again, very usable. It can hold 1,500 pounds, which is better payload than a lot of the other trucks that are on this list. 255 horsepower, 3.5 liter V6. They're pretty good. They moved just fine. In traffic, one of the most comfortable vehicles you will drive. They're even, the newer ones are even better. Oh my God. That red one we had, HPD or something like that.
Yeah, the Honda Performance.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Unfortunately, my wife fell in love with it. So as I was talking about like big, brutal 4x4, she said, well, what about this one? So,
yeah,
negatives.
You know,
come on, hit me.
Honestly, and here's another thing. I have to give you some grief for making this the final truck that we put on our list, or pickup.
I call it a pickup. I don't call it a truck.
But I will say, again, when we had a lot of people submitting trucks to us with the Dude, I Love My Ride at Home series, we had a lot of guys reach out about their Honda Ridgelines and say,
right,
honestly, it's been a great truck. It, you know, for what they were using it for in terms of hauling things, light towing, light off-roading, it was perfectly functional, very practical, efficient, reliable, inexpensive to own. Honda makes a good vehicle. So, I can't be too upset about it, but I know there's definitely going to be people out there that are going to grill you for including Ridgeline on the list.
I'm thrilled about that. Let's talk about the negatives, one of which is the bed length isn't very good. Just like that sports track we were talking about earlier, it's tiny. I think it's 5 feet. Sport track was like 4 feet. Drop the tailgate, though, and there's just enough room for a dirt bike if you do it right. I have a friend who lives in California who has a smaller, older quad that he loads in there almost every weekend. He's a photographer, and he goes everywhere and uses this thing to haul. And I think he's got a small, I don't even know the name of the trailer. Oh, a Burro, which is like a Casitas, which weighs like 3,000 pounds, and he tows that all the time as well. And he loves it. He's put on like 200,000 miles on this truck. It's the first gen. A couple things to keep in mind. The later transmissions, when they went to a 9-speed, I believe there were some problems early on, but they've sorted those out. Also, we've shown that if you take one of these off-road, and if you're Roman, and you leave it in first gear and try to really pound it, you can roast it, and you'll force it to go into limp home mode until it cools off. Fortunately, once they cool off, they work again. Not exactly a rock-crawling vehicle. Ground clearance isn't good. There's not much you can do about that. Yeah, you can lift him. Some guys do and put bigger tires on him. But the reality is it's four-wheel independent suspension. There's no solid axle. But on the positive, I've driven every version of the Honda Ridgeline in snow, every single version, and they've all impressed me. If you live in snow country and you don't have to haul a lot, it's a fantastic vehicle to own. The weight distribution on it is fantastic for snow.
Yeah, it's not the truckiest thing on this
list.
But realistically, for what most people on a day-to-day basis use trucks for, it is more than good enough. So, it's
and we've been saying that for years too. Yeah, we really have been saying that for years. So, it's something to keep in mind. One final thing about this truck is that it is now kind of the grandfather of unibody or car-based, if you want to call them, minivan-based pickups out there, because we're about to have the Santa Cruz from Hyundai and the Ford Maverick. And both of those are in a similar vein, however, smaller. So they're even smaller. And we should hopefully start hearing information about those, including reviews, within the next few months. Or less. I think Roman's doing one really, really soon. So anyway, stay tuned for that.
Yeah, a lot of big news coming.
A lot of big news. So in the very near future, the guys are going to be going to South Dakota for TFL Bike.
Yep.
What are you guys going to do there?
We're going to ride around on some adventure bikes. Harley-Davidson is bringing out the Pan America. BMW is going to have their GS lineup. There's going to be a lot of different companies there, cool people. Should be a really fun event. So if you're interested in motorcycle stuff, definitely hop over to the TFL Bike channel. We like to have fun over there.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. Say that again.
We like to have fun over there.
Yeah. See, Alex, and it's funny because Alex and Case, two of the youngest guys here at TFL, we thrill at the fact that they are so adept at doing the motorcycle stuff, especially because I'm not stupid enough to do it. Mm-hmm. And but most importantly, this new channel is starting to grow, and they are working tirelessly to keep it going while still doing all our car channels. So kudos to you guys for kicking butt on that. I'm thrilled about it. Remember, they also have a website, which is tflbike.com, and there will be new stuff loaded up a few times a week on that, which is going to be awesome. And finally, I wanted to say once again to our patrons, thank you for supporting us. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, big time, and we'll see you guys in the next podcast.
Cheers, guys.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.